So quick recap, who can tell me what you talked about last week? Anybody? Andrew doesn't count. Kirsten.
Freedom was the battle cry. Freedom from the law. And just that faith working through love is what you have to kind of balance. And he was telling him that if you accept one, you have to accept it all. You can't pick and choose.
Okay. Lee?
The subject at hand was circumcision.
Okay.
That was the main theme.
And that's been our theme. And you know, that word circumcision that these Jews, Judaizing Christians is what we call them, because they were part of the church, we assume, based on the study in Acts, and they're trying to force upon these Gentiles that they need to be circumcised. They need to follow the old law. And Paul has spent the last four chapters debunking that theory. Carol.
Yeah, in verse 3, it says that, "I'm going to testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he's under obligation to keep the law." And then when you go down to verse 14, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself."
Okay, Carol's cheating because we stopped at verse 12. So do not step on my toes, lady. But she's right. She's right. And to Kirsten's point, freedom. Because that's where we're going to start. All right. So we're just going to pick up in verse 13. And I'm just going to read verse 13 through 15, because that's where we'll focus our thoughts for a moment. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's more than one word. But we get what he's saying, right? In one statement. What does it mean to be called unto liberty? What's that mean? What's liberty mean?
Freedom.
Right? Now, I think that it's interesting, and I hope that you did too, that when you read this, he says, "For brethren, we have been called to liberty." This freedom. But because he knows his audience, how does he follow that up?
Don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh.
Yeah, freedom's not free.
No, you have to balance it.
Yeah, freedom isn't a... So now we're free from the law. So if we take things out of context, like they so often did, they've just been told that they're not bound by the law of Moses, right? This burden, this yoke that they've been carrying around on their necks. And so what's their natural instinct? To skip through the streets. We're free. And do whatever they want. What did the Gentiles do? How did they worship God? Because we know they worshiped a God. They did it incorrectly. It's talked about in Acts, I believe the 15th chapter, when the apostle came with a letter talking to the churches, dealing with the Jewish Christians, saying, "No, we're not going to push circumcision." And what did he say to the Gentiles? Oh, nobody wants to say it. What did they have? They had temple prostitutes. To me, that's just so weird. But they had temple prostitutes. They satisfied the needs of the flesh and somehow justified it as worshiping God. So Paul is talking to these people and he's saying, no, you don't have to be circumcised. You're not under the yoke of the law. But you are not free to worship God the way that you want to. That's our message. So many in the world will say that, you know, as long as your heart is right, all right, we've heard all the stories. Churches are full today. Right? Today, Christmas Eve, churches are full. And the rest of the time, maybe they're full, maybe they're not full. People are checking that box. They're serving, you know, that obligation that they have. That one time I'm going to come and I'm going to celebrate Jesus' birth and I'm going to celebrate Jesus' death. And then the rest of the time, as long as I'm a good person. Right? And so we'll touch on that a little bit later on. But Paul is just going to reinforce that there's more. So this faith that we've been talking about, and this grace that we receive from God, requires what from us? Action. Works.
Obedience. Why?
Let's just look at some verses that have to do with faith before we move on. So over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What does that imply?
Doing good things.
Doing works that save you.
Yes. Doing works that save. So my daughter, several years ago now, which blows my mind, I feel like yesterday she was still in high school, and a lot of you participated in this. She did the Camino de Santiago, which is a 563-mile hike across Spain. I find that crazy. But she started at the beginning, and there's this trail that everybody does this pilgrimage on, and it's marked, and if you stay on that trail, you will end up in Santiago. That's a pretty simple rule, right? Stay on the trail. What happens if she gets off the trail? What happens if she decides, like so many of us decide in this world, that I want to do it my way, and I'll just pick the direction that I want to go to Santiago? She's never been to Spain. What are the odds of her getting to Santiago? Slim to none. Okay, and to take the analogy further, she flies across the country with her little backpack, and she gets to the beginning of the trail for the Camino, and that's as far as she wants to go. Will she ever reach Santiago? What does she have to do to get to Santiago? She's got to walk the trail, doesn't she? Do you see how simple it is? We complicate it. And as we get to the end of this chapter, we'll talk about that even more. But we complicate it. Simple. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The verse that Carol read, verse 14, stepping on my lesson. For the law is fulfilled in one word. Okay? But what's this law that we're talking about here? Is this a contradiction? Because he just told us for the last 4.5 chapters that we're not under the law. And yet, he's telling us that the law is fulfilled. What law is fulfilled?
That Jesus came and is teaching the law, and his law, he wants you to love. I mean,
okay.
The law that he took from the Ten Commandments, that's the one that he felt was the most important.
Okay, so let's turn over to James. Book of James, We're going to read in James chapter 1, verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. The law of what? Liberty. What is liberty? Freedom. The law of freedom. But wait, freedom just means I'm free. No. There's a law to that freedom. There's a direction to that freedom. There's one that gave that freedom. Let's look at Matthew. We're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Somebody want to read that for me?
And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets.
Okay. Now, so we can look at that in two different directions. If we look at the old law, the law of Moses, if you fulfilled those two commandments, would you have broke any of the other commandments? You wouldn't, would you? I'm looking at my notes and I'm bouncing around. Let's look, talking about faith, just for a couple more minutes. Let's look over in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. It says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. And he goes on to talk about the wise man who built his house upon the rock and how that rock stood firm. And those who hear the word and don't remember them, and don't do them, are like what?
Sand.
Yeah. So when Vicki and I were down in San Diego, we went over to, I don't know, what was the name of that island?
Coronado.
There it is, Coronado. And then we walked to the other side of Coronado, because if you go on vacation with Vicki, you're going to walk. A lot. But we walked to the other side, and there were sand sculptures there. They were amazing. But how long are they going to stay there? Yeah. Till the wind blows, till the tide comes, till the child comes. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. This is a set of verses that we all should be pretty familiar with, but Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And we can go on to read about the difference between those two people, but what that is telling us is that there are people that are going to call Jesus their Lord. Like, this, the first time I studied this, I was like, that shook me a little bit. All these people, maybe sometimes when I'm questioning my faith, I'm one of these people. That think that we're dedicating our lives to serving God, only to find out that we have been wrong. But it kind of hurts your heart when you think about the fact that there are so many out there that are going to find out on that day of judgment that the life that they lived, God, not. To me, that's big. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave to whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So I use an example of my little friend who came to church and then reached out to me and said, I liked what you had to say, but I'm really struggling with that submission. What does this tell us? We're submitting to something, aren't we? Not making a choice is making a choice, isn't it? What were you going to say, Eileen?
Either submitting to the devil or to God.
Yeah. We're making a choice, whether we verbalize those words or not. We're making a choice. Let's read verses 16. We're going to go 16 through 25, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about those.
In Galatians?
Yes, we're going to stay in Galatians. Sorry, you know what? I can see what I'm looking at up here, and I just assume you can too. So we're going to go back to Galatians, chapter 5, and we're going to finish out the chapter, although we're going to save verse 26 for next week. Because I think verse 26 kind of starts the thought that chapter, not next week, the week after next, that chapter 6 is going to then continue with it. So, who wants to read that for me? Somebody. Eileen, go ahead. Nice and loud. 16 through 25.
I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And they are contrary. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit.
Thank you. Nice job. Let's back up real quick, because I get ahead of myself sometimes. I just want us to touch on, so in verse 14 it says, for the law is fulfilled in this one thing, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then it goes on to verse 15 and it says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you can be consumed by one another. I think that's a pretty valuable warning. If you think about when you were in school, right? And I don't know where you landed in school. If you were part of the popular group, if you were the artsy group. But that was one of those places, started in middle school, but in high school, you had these cliques, if you will, right? You know, if you were a jock, then you got to walk around with your chest all puffed up and you were important, right? And you could pick on the nerd. When we were in high school, we would bite and devour, wouldn't we? We would gossip. Somebody would get accolades and we would get jealous. And so what would we do? Oh, well, they're not so great after all, are they? They do this and they do this. But we're being reminded, we might be the top of the food chain like we were when we were in high school. I was the quarterback on the football team. I was important. And that's where it stopped. I don't think Elon Musk was a quarterback on the football team. I don't think Bill Gates was a quarterback on the football team. Not that money equates, but you might be the top of the food chain today, and tomorrow you might be. And what it's telling us here is that if we bite and devour one another, then we lose all of these benefits.
Yeah.
Don't we? I mean, one of the greatest things about coming to church, assembling together, is the edification that we receive from one another, isn't it? I hope. At least, I hope that I edify you and that you're edifying me, that we're built up by seeing one another. I hope that we put smiles on each other's faces. Over in Philippians chapter 2, we should be able to recite this. I've read it so many times. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. God tells us here, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambitions and conceits, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others. Love your neighbor as yourself. So what were the works of the flesh? That was a long list, wasn't there, Ben?
I haven't said it there. When I think of the works of the flesh, serving your flesh, serving your desires, stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, self-serving, right? Adultery, self-serving. I care more about my needs, my desires, than maybe my friendship with this other individual when I take their spouse. I care about more about my desires than I care about the soul of the spouse that I'm taking. Fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, most of those we can go, yeah, those don't talk about me. Idolatry, what do we find important in this life? What do we put? Go ahead, Ben.
Well, I mean that. I want to stand back with the idolatry. It's like, I feel like you can slip into that in a way, you know, so easily, but it's also kind of hard to define. Like, I mean, I don't know the exact definition. It's worth being idle, right?
So for me, when I'm thinking about idolatry in today's terms, I don't make a golden calf and set that on my mantle and worship it as God. But what can I replace God with?
Anything. A motorboat. golf club.
Golf clubs.
A race car. Anything that you really wish you
anything could. That you really and that you're willing to sacrifice all of this to achieve. Right? Sorcery. We could talk about that. Hatred. Hatred. That one might affect us, right? Contentions, have we ever gotten, you know, into disagreements? We ever talked about our disagreements with this person, with somebody over here? Have we ever done that? Jealous. Okay, this one I don't want to talk about. Outbursts of wrath. I don't know why they had to put that one in there. That's a struggle for me. Sometimes I just get so frustrated, so angry, and it shows. I saved the last outburst of wrath, didn't get it fixed because I need a constant reminder. So when my right hand taps anything solid, it swells up. Yeah. That's a 59-year-old saying that. It's ridiculous. So I need that reminder. That's something that I struggle with. Selfish ambitions. Putting myself above everybody else. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries. And that's where the list ends, right? He says, and such the like. But now let's go over to the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness. You ever seen, how many people on Facebook? It's okay, you don't have to be embarrassed. You can. Have you seen those quizzes? I ranked to 47, and it's a list. I never have. Or I have a tattoo. I have flown in a plane. I have jumped out of a plane. And you get a point for each one of those things that you mark off, right? And then that gives you your score. Never fill those out. That's a whole other discussion. But we keep that in mind, don't we? When we look at this, we look at this list, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. All right, so I got a point for love, and I got joy. I'll get a half a point for joy. Peace, I'm fairly obnoxious, so maybe peace isn't my strong suit. At least my wife can tell you that if it's too quiet, that I've got to start something. But we do that, don't we? We look at that list, and we're like, well, I get 7 out of 12, right? That's pretty good. You ever do that? We're being honest, right? It's not just the guy standing in the front of the class that's going to bear all his dirty laundry. We do that, don't we? We look at this list and say, well, I have most of that list. Verse 22. But the fruit, where's the S? Does that say the fruits of the Spirit? Right? If it said the fruits of the Spirit, completely different context, right? Then I could be okay because I have most of those fruits. Like my doctor says, you need to eat more fruit. And I'm like, okay, but I don't like kiwis. That's okay. Have oranges and apples. Is that how this works? So I look at this list and I say, long suffering, I have to be patient. I'm not very patient. Ask Nolan. He worked for me. Gentle. Might have to ask Nolan that one too. Right? So there's things that I have to look at, but I got to look at these things because it says the fruit of the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, what? Right? We're doing the will of God. What is the will of God? To produce fruit. To produce some fruit? Let's look at John. Chapter 15, verse 8. John chapter 15, verse 8, it says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. I mean, that's pretty simple, isn't it? If we don't bear fruit, do we glorify God? In fact, if we're a tree and we don't bear fruit, what happens?
Tree dies.
Yeah. What does the person that takes care of the vineyard do? Or the orchard?
Chops it down.
Yeah, chops it down. Now, I got an apple tree. I'm like, it bears a lot of fruit. I want to chop it down, but my cat climbs it, and so my family won't let me. But that's another story. But if I've got a tree, if I've got a fig tree, and I'm watering that fig tree, and it's taking up space in the orchard, and it's producing nothing, at best, what good is it? firewood, right? And we live in Oregon where we have all these emissions, so you can't have a wood-burning fireplace anyway when it's cold, you know. But firewood, that's all it's good for. To be cut up and cast into the fire. Matthew. Let's look at Matthew. Chapter 7, verses 16 through 20. Let's back up to 15 just because it keeps the context. But beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they themselves are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. That's why I won't stop. So we read in here talking about if we walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If we walk in the Spirit, the way that we should walk in the Spirit, it says right here that we can't bear bad fruit. So when I bear bad fruit, what's the result? I'm not walking in the Spirit. And if I'm not walking in the Spirit, then I'm not pleasing to God. Carol.
You're also not getting the benefits of the fruit in your life. So you don't have peace in your life because you have anger and conflict. You haven't been able to find the peace that He wants to give all of us, not peace that He wants to give the person you're yelling at, but the peace He wants to give you.
Exactly. So when we look at, and I really like the way that this list is broken down. So when we look at the works of the flesh, really, is there anything over there that is super appealing? Now, we might manifest some of those things in our lives and think that we like the outcome, but is there anything in that list that's appealing?
Well, when it's listed like that, it's not very
appealing. It's not, is it? Like, when you break it down, you go, oh. So, when it's listed like that, and I go, oh, man. Outbursts of wrath. I'm in that list. So how do I fix that?
Control yourself.
Yeah. I need to focus on bearing fruit. All the fruit. So if I work on peace, long-suffering, self-control. If I work on those things, because obviously, if I'm prone to outbursts of wrath, then I'm not long-suffering. I'm not peaceful. I don't show self-control. Therefore, I have to conclude at that point in my life, that I am not walking with the Spirit. Carol.
But you may be walking with the Spirit 70% of the time where you were walking with the Spirit only 50% of the time. So if you're making progress, you can't be too hard on yourself that, oh, there I did it again. And we also need to look at the word, people like David, who had such great mistakes, but still could be a man after God's own heart after he committed those sins, and the other people in the congregation to help us get closer to the fruit that he wants to have.
Yes, I'm not implying that because I fell short here, I may as well just quit. Like, why bother? You know, it's like any kind of exercise, which I obviously haven't done a lot of. Wait. You have goals, right? You have goals?
Mm-hmm.
We all have goals. Maybe it's goals at work. Maybe it's to be a better cook. Maybe it's to be a better gardener. Maybe you want to plant tomatoes and actually grow tomatoes. I don't know. We have goals. Maybe we want to be a better grandma. Maybe we want to be a better mom. Maybe we're young and single and we want to be a spouse. Want to raise families. Whatever it is, we have goals, right? Let's go back to day one of a 112-pound little girl with a backpack that weighed 22 pounds, standing at the foot of a mountain, looking at a 21-mile first day. If she never took a step, would she have ever reached something of? Halfway through that journey, she developed compartment syndrome, just really bad shin splints, issues. If she stopped, like in her mind, her goal was to start and finish the Camino with a smile on her face, get to go to the festival at Santiago. But it got hard. It got hard. There were days that were hard. There were days that her teacher carried her backpack because the extra weight was too much. There were days she walked in a group, and there were days she walked by herself because she was so slow. Those are the days where when I have my thoughts about, you know, wrath or whatever it is, I long not long suffering, I could quit or I could continue. Right? I can push forward. I can know that God loves me and God will forgive me. And God doesn't expect me to be perfect, but he does expect me to bear fruit. Make no mistake. I'm not saying that you have to be perfect to be pleasing to God, but you have to be trying. See, the way the human mind works is we take Carol's statement, which was a true statement, that maybe you're a 70%er, and we just think, okay, 70% is still passing, right? C's get degrees. Right? No, we can't be happy with 70%. Always pushing forward. So we are not having class next week, and then we will do chapter 6 the following week, and